Welcome to show number 13 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. What's up, my people? It is on and cracking, and I hope everything is going well in your life. And, you know, if you're working, take it easy for a little bit and just kick back and let us entertain you here for a little bit, unless that's what we're trying to do here. So, but if I don't entertain you, you can at least win something free. And if you didn't listen to our last show, we have a new contest. It is going to be for $25 in PayPal or $25 at NorCalSportsShop.com. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, or hit us back to our last show, or hit show number 10. It's basically the same contest. We're running it till October 1st. So check it out. Hopefully you guys enjoy yourself. And if you check out NorCalSportsShop.com, remember that listeners get 10% off. Might be more than that. I don't really remember. But it's S-H-O-W. If you enter that into the discount code when you check out, I, again, have no idea how much I set that discount code up for, but you'll at least save a little bit of money. On top of that, it is free shipping to the USA and Canada. I will be shipping free to the Canada as well. I'll be adding that moniker on my website as soon as I can. So if you're in Canada, and we know we have at least one listener because he won our contest last month, and he has a sweet Andres Bargnani card coming to him. As soon as it gets into my possession, I'll be sending it to Marcus, and then shortly after that, I'll let you guys know what I got him, because I don't want to spoil the party for him, because I'm sure he is sitting on the edge of his seat waiting for this card. But anyways, we've got a big time show for you today. I'm going to touch on quite a few topics. Most of them were listener submitted. First, since it's lucky show number 13, sometimes 13 has kind of a unlucky connotation to it. And one of our listeners who actually suggested a topic on our last show when we battled it out with Upper Deck and Tops, Ezra, also wanted to know a little bit more about hot packs and those kind of auctions and those kind of things you sometimes see on eBay. And I actually know quite a bit about this topic, and I've written, I guess it's a pretty high-ranking review on eBay about the topic. So we'll be talking a little bit about that, because I think if you run into people that do pack searching and do kind of hot pack things, it's kind of unlucky. So and maybe not so much sticking with that slogan. Nick from New Jersey suggested a couple topics. But first one I'm going to cover is storing your cards, kind of going back to basics today and, you know, figuring out how to store your cards, whether you put them in boxes, penny sleeves, card savers, top loaders, screw downs. There's a lot of different options you can go with storing your cards, and it all kind of depends on what the card is and how valuable it is and things like that. So I'll give you, you know, a few of my tips, and hopefully those work out for you. And we got a product review. I'm going to talk a little bit about a website I've talked about in the past, and talk to you about some experiences that I've had on there recently. But first thing is first, let's pop this baby off with a little bit of news. It is news time. Well, you know, I don't know if I have anything in particular. Not so much has happened in the sports world. I'm just waiting for this Sunday. I always love watching football. It's not very big news, but I am 2-0 in my fantasy football this year, and it was a great win last week. I had Marion Barber score a touchdown for me on Monday night to put me over the top, and I won by 5, so it was an awesome win. I was down by like 20-something going into Monday night, and it's always nice to pull that Monday night miracle off, and I certainly did that. So I'm looking forward to this week. Hopefully I can hit the 3-0 mark. And if you don't play fantasy football and you like football and you kind of like investing in cards and kind of following that from that angle, I encourage you to maybe get into fantasy football, because it does increase your awareness of all football players in general, and that's a really good thing if you are looking to capitalize on you know, certain players and trying to gather their cards before they blow up and things like that. Fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy anything is really good for expanding your knowledge of the game, especially if you really try at it. If you just kind of make your draft and kind of run with your team, then fantasy, those fantasy games aren't going to do anything for you so much. But if you really follow it and looking for, especially football, there's always like backups coming up, and baseball's kind of the same way. You always have young guys and kind of guys that fly under the radar that have a really good season. It happens every year. So that's my little tip for today. I wouldn't call that newsworthy, but another thing that's not necessarily newsworthy, I kind of blew over it a little bit last show, was this Matt Cassel, you know, backing up Tom Brady. Well, you know, obviously Tom Brady got hurt. You already know that. And now Matt Cassel's in. And I realized that his cards went up quite a bit. And then I went to the forum that I've shouted out here, TradingCardCentral.com. I went to their forum and there was a really big kind of discussion, almost kind of some banter going back and forth between two collectors. And they were really, they had some lengthy posts and they were kind of going at it. So I didn't read them all, didn't read it word for word. But the gist I got from it was from one collector. He was saying, I don't know why people are paying, you know, $300, $400 for a card that was $50 2 weeks ago, or for a guy that really hasn't done anything. And another guy was saying, you know, that, you know, whatever, you know, that's how the market goes, and that's what happens, and you know, those are the kind of things that happen. And I don't know, there was a long argument, and if you want to check it out, it's at tradingcardcentral.com, and I think it was under like the forum, and it was in hobby news or hobby talk or something like that. But The one poster was kind of angry that people were paying a lot of money, or people were putting buy it nows for ridiculous amounts of money for Matt Cassel's. But, you know, to me, it is 100% believable. I mean, I didn't even have to search eBay prices. I saw, you know, some things here and there, and I did a quick search and saw that his cards were getting tons of bids, and, you know, some of them were at some serious money, to know that, you know, yes, his cards would go up. Number one, one of, if not the most famous active QB got hurt. So, you know, that's a very, he was in a very noticeable position as it was. Number two, that's one of the best teams in the NFL, if not the best team. And the NFL is the most popular sport in the United States. So that has a lot to do with it. The fact that he plays quarterback, which is the most noticeable position in the most noticeable sport, on one of the most noticeable teams behind one of the most noticeable quarterbacks. I mean, to me, it was more, his card prices, I would have thought, would jump more than Aaron Rodgers probably, because, you know, and also he went to USC, which is a pro football factory and kind of a sexy college, or kind of a, you know, a big time college. So, you know, there's just a lot of different things, that went into, him doing this. And also, there's a long history of quarterbacks doing this. You have Tony Romo, you have Tom Brady himself, you have Kurt Warner going back a ways, Jeff Hostetler. I think he might have been one of the originals, that I remember at least, being a young man. So things like this happen all the time. And so you have, each time it happens, I think you have more and more speculators jumping on board, because honestly, the cards have gotten even better, because Kurt Warner had cards that were selling for in the hundreds. Tom Brady has cards that are selling in the thousands. You know, Tony Romo has cards that have gone way up and way down. You know, I remember seeing SP Authentic rookies in, you know, below $20, and now you can have one for less than, I don't know, $200 probably. So, you know, those kind of things happen all the time, and the Patriots still are a good team, and I know I covered that on the last show. They're still a good team. They still, you know, and I looked at their schedule. They, you know, the best team they play in the first five games of the season are like the Jets, you know, the team they just played. I think they play the Niners, not to hate on some teams, but they play the Niners, and they play all these weak, weak, weak teams the first couple weeks of the season. Their schedule really isn't too tough, so we'll see what happens there, but hopefully some of you football collectors have some of him in your collection. And you know, I can't advise you what to do, because honestly it would depend on the card and it would depend on your situation and things like that. But I know if I had some Matt Cassel's, and for some reason I didn't, I looked through all, I have boxes of football and stuff that I haven't gone through in a while, and you know, all from that year and stuff, and I was like, like, man, I've got to have at least one or two. And I didn't see a single one. So I was like, wow, this, you know, how lucky am I today? So, oh, well, I struck out on the castle boat, but hopefully some of you guys have some of his cards. And if I were you, I'd be looking to move them. Another thing I want to mention is a product review I saw on the forums as well while I was surfing. Somebody kind of said that they liked the Upper Deck product that just came out, or I think it is going to come out. It's called Ballpark Collection Baseball, and it's kind of a higher-end product. SRP is around $50 a pack, and there's four packs per box, so expect to pay in the probably $160 to $180 for a box for that. You might be able to get a little bit cheaper. It might be a little bit more, but it was an interesting product because I think every pack had like at least a quad memorabilia piece, and there was like, I saw people on the forums that were pulling like a 10 piece memorabilia and like all these different pieces on one card, and so I thought that was kind of cool. And I didn't actually see the cards themselves. Nobody had some scans up, and I just saw some sell sheets and stuff like that. So but I haven't seen physical, like, real collector's cards yet. So it's kind of an interesting product. It's getting some buzz. People are saying for the money, it's not too terrible of a break. I think you get quite a few things per pack, so you want to check it out online. And if you do have some money to spend, you know, a box of that, especially early, and collectors do. I know that a collector on Trading Card Central said he hates Upper Deck, but he actually bought a box and he was very happy with it. So, you know, those are the kind of things you want to keep an eye out for. It's called 08 Ballpark Collection Baseball. It's by Upper Deck. It's about $50 a pack, so you want to check it out. The price may go up or down. You never know with those kind of things, but my guess is that it was a hobby-only product, and since they have a lot of, it's guaranteeing like a quad memorabilia or a triple memorabilia per pack, there's not going to be a whole bunch of it, so my guess is it's going to get opened up very quickly and it's going to dry out very quickly, so the price not necessarily going to go down on this kind of product, so buying it early may not be too bad of an idea. So that's about it for our news. After we get back from this break, we're going to get back to basics, talk about storing your cards, what kind of things you can do, what kind of things you can use to protect yourself after this. What's up, people? All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about storing your cards. We're going to talk about, you know, what kind of things you can do to protect your cards. So if you want to sell them in the future, if you want to get them graded, or if you just want them looking nice over the long haul, what kind of things you can do to store them. First thing is first, you've got to use penny sleeves. You got to get yourself some plastic sleeves. And there's varying, you know, quality, and there's varying, you know, different price range on pocket sleeves and things like that. Penny sleeve, pocket sleeves, there's all kinds of different names for those little things. But basically, they should be about $1, $1.25 for a pack of 100. Ultra Pro makes some really nice ones, and they really should only be about $1 or $1.25 at the most. If somebody's charging you $2, they're really doubling it up, or they don't have a good supplier, because Honestly, those really shouldn't be more than a dollar. That's what I'll tell you. That those shouldn't be more than a dollar or $1.25 for a pack of those. So make sure you're not paying too much more for that. And if you have to buy them in quantity, you can get a case and probably get them for about 50 cents a pack or maybe about 75 cents a pack. And that's worth it because if you're in this for the long haul, think about picking up a case of them. And it's something that if you're in good with, you know, an internet retailer, if you're in good with a sports card shop, just have them throw in a case when they order some of their supplies and they'll be able to shoot that to you. So it's something that I put almost every card in, even cards that may not be that desirable or that collectible. I always like to put in a penny sleeve. Keeps the edges from getting kind of frayed and kind of roughed up when you slide them in the boxes or wherever you put them. Keeps everything, you know, gives it that first layer of protection, so to speak. Next thing you want to do is pick a holder for the card, and those kind of things vary on the thickness of the card and the size of the card. And the same thing with little penny sleeves. If obviously, if you have like the, you know, Babe Ruth bat barrel card, and you just pull this and you want to try to figure out how to slide it into a penny sleeve, obviously a normal one's not going to work. They do have thick and like super thick soft sleeves, and do expect to pay a little bit more for these soft sleeves because obviously you're going to use probably a little bit less of them because they're not going to fit. Well, they'll fit all your cards, but you're probably only going to slide your super thick and your extra thick cards into these. So you want to have some of those handy if you're going to be opening up a lot of packs with some patches and things like that, because you'll definitely want to have those protected as well. So that's the first thing you want to do is determine the size of cards that you're normally going to be collecting. If you're only going to be opening up a lot of base products or products with only real thin jersey cards or just autograph cards and things like that, you're not going to have to worry about having different size soft sleeves and card protectors. But that's your next step, is picking a protector, and there's several that you can go with. And to me, I fluctuate, and it doesn't really matter a whole bunch for me. I usually go with what's available or what's on a good deal. To me, one of the best deals is like Card Saver ones. They're actually kind of those long, kind of flimsy, floppy ones that you see. God, it's hard to describe if you haven't seen it. But basically, if you've seen a raw BGS card, they have them in kind of a Card Saver one. It's a little bit floppier than what most people use. It's called a top loader, and that is made by Ultra Pro, and it's made by other companies as well. It's basically kind of a, you can imagine it as a kind of a larger soft sleeve that has a little bit thicker rim around the outside, and it works quite well, but it's not quite as flexible as like say a Card Saver one. So extra thick cards and a little bit thicker cards aren't always going to fit in those. So you're going to have the different sizes. You're going to need the different sizes of those as well, especially if you're opening jersey cards. A jersey card doesn't normally fit in a regular top loader. So you're going to have thick and extra thick and extra, extra thick and things like that. Whereas a Card Saver, if you have a Card Saver one, those tend to be a little bit bigger. A lot of things tend to slide in that, and you can kind of fit a more wider range of cards in there. And they also have Card Saver twos, which are a little bit smaller, a little bit more compact. So you want to check those out. I know on the wholesale level, those are really cheap. For a box of 100 of them, it's like, you know, $7 or $8. And so people probably mark them up to maybe $12 or $15. So you should be able to pick up a box under $20 for 100 of them. And that's a pretty decent deal. I know top loaders and packs of 25 go in the $2.50 to $3 range. You know, and it kind of depends. If they're Ultra Pro, they're going to be a little bit more expensive. I know there's another company, I think it's called BCW, and you might want to check out their website and things like that. But the best way to get your card protectors are probably at a card shop, because they're going to be able to tack that onto an order most of the time and get it shipped out very cheaply. But if you want to check on the web, sometimes those things get kind of heavy UPS-wise, but some of these card protecting places probably have worked some things out with UPS and FedEx, so they can ship that stuff out to you fairly cheaply. After you store it, then I think it's the most difficult decision after that. I think it's fairly easy to know that you've got to put it in a top loader and a penny sleeve, but it's after that when you physically got to put this card and store this card somewhere. That to me is the hardest decision of them all. Now, again, it depends on the card. If you have a LeBron James exquisite rookie, which is like gosh, I don't know. That's a multiple $1,000 card. To me, that card should probably not be in your house, unless you live in a very safe neighborhood and a very secure environment. To me, I would not have that card in my house unless I had a secured safe that was normally locked in my house. Because to me, even with insurance, most people, obviously, if you're smart, you have homeowner's insurance or renter's insurance. And if you don't, I encourage you to go out and do so. It's a very inexpensive policy. It's normally under $100, or it's around $100, depending on how much, obviously, you're trying to insure. Obviously, if you have, LeBron's laying around, your policy might be a little bit larger. But, to me, a card like that, even if you have that insurance policy and you have that as your backing, it still doesn't make me feel very comfortable. Because yes, if my card got stolen, I would get the market value or whatever the declared value of the card was from the insurance company. But are you going to be able to go out and buy that card again? Say you bought that card, or you pulled that card out of a pack, or it had a very unique patch on it, or it was just a gem mint, BGS 9.5. Are you going to be able to get that card again? And is it going to be something that you want to do? And, to me, it would really, it would bum me out. And obviously, we're talking about kind of the pinnacle of all cards. You can have a wide range of collection. You could have a collection of just random jersey cards or random base cards that, if it got stolen, would really, really crush you, because maybe you put in a lot of time to store those cards and to organize them and to collect them and to find them and things like that. So you don't want all that stuff to go out the window. So be very aware of where you store your cards, and make sure it's always in a good place in your house, something where if somebody were to break in, heaven forbid, if somebody were to get into your house or something were to happen like that, maybe they wouldn't be able to find them, or they were in a secure area where it would take a lot to get that place out of there, or get that safe out of there, or whatnot. So you want to keep that in mind. Another thing is what you store them in. You want to keep in mind, things happen. I live in a little townhouse here that is actually, it had, before I lived here, part of it had sagged down. It's like a little two-story place, and so part of it had like started dropping. And in my garage, I have like these steel bars running up and like holding up half my house. So, things like that can happen. And, trees fall. I've lived in homes where we've had huge oak trees in the front yard, or huge, whatever kind of trees in the front yard. And if they were to fall on the house, if they were to fall on someone, you'd probably die. So it would definitely crush a box of cards. So you want to keep that in mind as well. Make sure you've put it in a very sturdy box, something that can withstand maybe being dropped or something crushing it and things like that. That, to me, that's very important. Obviously, you're not going to be able to do this with all your cards if you have a huge collection, but I have, I have tons of cards all over my house, but I have a box of maybe, 5 to 10 cards that are in a very secure place and in a very nice box that I think even if a tree fell on it, it might have a decent shot of withstanding the blow. So those are the kind of things you want to keep in mind. Obviously you can't anticipate bad things happening, but bad things do. And maybe I'll tell a story at some point, but I won't today. But I actually was robbed at one point, and literally all my cards were stolen. And it's really an interesting story, and I'll probably tell it some other time. But things like that do happen. And so you want to keep yourself protected, always lock your doors, always find a good place for your cards, because it does, like John M. from Illinois said, he loved finding cards. He loves collecting cards, maybe more so for the fact of going out and trying to find them, and this hunt and the search for them, and maybe stumbling upon them, more so than actually having the card and being able to, sell it on eBay or whatever, watching the card go up in value or whatever it might be. It's sometimes actually going through and either pulling the card from a pack or finding it from a sports card dealer, or, having the card somehow fall in your lap. To me, that also is a lot of fun, and you don't want to lose that. You'll lose that along with the card if something ever happened with it. So make sure you store your cards in a secure place. Find some good protection for them. to me, it doesn't really matter if you store them in boxes or binders. That doesn't really matter. Your high-end cards, never store them in a binder. To me, that's the worst place to store high-end valuable cards. Get that card individually sealed up, put it up in some plastic, find a nice box for it, find a nice nice place in your house or your apartment for it, and keep that secure. And other places you can store cards are safety deposit boxes. If say you're like me and you live in kind of a, I don't live in a bad part of town. I actually live in the downtown area, so there's some beautiful, beautiful old homes. But, you know, bad things do happen in my part of town. Bad things happen in every part of town. But if you have parents like I do, or, you know, you have some relatives maybe that live in better parts of town, you can always store some things over at their houses. And I know that I do that myself. So you want to keep that in mind. There's always different risks you can take, but you want to make sure that you have yourself covered in any way things happen. And the last way to maybe store your cards is actually getting them graded. And this is probably the best way to store your cards for a long-term investment. Obviously, you're not going to be able to do every card. You're only going to want to do your best cards. And normally, it's a rookie card or a very special jersey or autograph card. So you're going to save grading your cards to certain cards. But this ensures that the condition of the card is always going to be the same. And it's never going to change. And it's never going to change from being a near mint card to a lower grade. Whatever card they grade it at, that's what it's going to be, as long as nothing happens too tragic to that holder. So hopefully you guys do that a little bit, or you buy some cards. Really, the best value is actually buying graded cards, because oftentimes you can find some really good deals because people pay at least $7 or $8 normally to go through a PSA or a BGS, and I see cards routinely sell in the $10 range. Gem Mint. I remember seeing a Tim Lincecome, Allen and Ginter BGS 9.5 rookie go for about $10 shipped. So I was like, wow, that's a Gem Mint card, and it cost him at least, it's a tough grade to get, and cost him at least probably $10 to get that card shipped out and shipped back to him. And he sold it for $10 shipped. So I was like, wow, I would hate to have been the one grading that card. But if you were the one buying it, you got a heck of a deal, because if you try to do it yourself, you wouldn't have been able to do it that cheap. Well, after this short break, we're going to come back with our next topic, and that is going to be hot packs. And if you don't know what these are, we'll explain the topic after this. Halfway home and my page is still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day. Up, we are back, and we're going to talk about a very interesting topic. If you don't know too much about this topic, you want to close the other internet browsers you have going on, focus on what we're going to be talking about, because it's a very interesting topic, something you want to be aware of. And I'm going to share some information. This is a controversial topic, because I'm actually going to share some information that some people actually sell on eBay. Some people are going to sell you this information and think that you should pay for it, and some people think that I shouldn't share this information, but to me, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what I know, and to me, it's pretty common knowledge at this point, so I don't feel too bad for giving my thoughts on this topic. But hot packs, basically a hot pack is any pack with a jersey card or an autograph in it, and there's different ways to determine if a pack is going to have an autograph or a jersey card in it. Obviously, there are packs that guarantee an autograph card or a jersey card in every pack, and I would consider every pack in that product hot because it's going to have something other than a base card in it. And so those are loosely hot packs. Now, The real term for hot packs is you'll see products like SB Authentic Football, and there's products all across the board that get released with, say, 24 packs, and maybe there's 4 packs or 5 packs or 6 packs or whatever, however many packs. But basically, not all the packs are going to have an autograph or a jersey card in it. And those packs I would consider hot because you'll buy a box, and say theoretically, you could buy boxes and only pick out, say you could go to your hobby store and you could open up a fresh box. And if there was a way for you to just pick out those 6 packs and open them every time, you would, right? I mean, those are the 6 packs you want. I mean, there might be some other good things in the other packs, but those are going to be your best odds and your best packs. So what people do is basically they can search for those packs, and there's different varying ways to do it, but the first way everybody probably does it is they've got a high quality digital scale. If you have a marginal digital scale, it's probably not going to work for you, but if you have a very high powered one, and those often cost quite a bit of money, especially if you have a high powered like biology or like a chemistry one that's extremely nice, some of those run in the thousands of dollars. Those scales will definitely pick up even a sticker auto. Basically, because you have 24 packs and you have 6 packs or 4 packs you're searching for, you get kind of a base number as you're weighing, and then you can definitely see the heavier packs as you go on. And that kind of thing is very sleazy, not a very good thing. You don't want to be buying from sports card dealers that do this kind of thing, and you definitely don't want to be buying hot packs on eBay. And let me tell you why. First of all, hot packs may not necessarily all be hot. And the reason why I say this is, let's take a pack like SP Game Used. Baseball, football, basketball, it doesn't really matter. This product, every pack has a jersey card in it. And I know you tell me that I just told you that every pack was hot, but there's a percentage of those packs that are actually patch cards, and actually like two color patches, or you have dual patches or things like that, or you have very special patches on certain cards of the SB Game Used. Now, not every card's going to be a patch card, but if you have a digital scale and you start weighing out those packs, you're going to be able to figure out which packs are going to be the patch cards and which ones are going to be the normal cards. So that's a very interesting thing. And if you want my opinion, the people that are selling those packs on eBay, they're pulling the patch cards and they're selling you the base jersey cards or just the normal jersey cards. And they're pulling the really thick packs, because I've seen interviews with Upper Deck and Topps and things like that where they admit that even with dupe cards and even with all these other protections that they try to put in, there's no way to hide the one of one Babe Ruth quad bat card or whatever it might be. There's just some cards that are naturally just going to be huge, especially certain one of one hits, and certain very unique cards are just going to be slightly different, and they're going to yield some different results. And that's something, if you're selling hot packs on eBay, to me it means you're basically an experienced or professional pack searcher, and that means you know what I'm talking about here. You know that you can just pick off the patch cards, or you could pick off the cut autograph that just weighs a little bit differently than what you've seen. You're going to open that pack. That's just something you want to stay away from. Don't give these guys any money. Don't let these packs go for any money, and it'll go away. People won't sell their packs on eBay anymore like that. So you just want to be careful. I would never ever buy a hot pack on eBay. It wouldn't make any sense to me. I'd much rather just go buy a whole box instead of, what do you save, like 20 or 30 bucks, when chances are you're probably getting ripped off. When you could spend an extra 20 or 30, know there's a good chance you're not getting ripped off, and you get a bunch more cards, and you have a much, much better shot at getting something better. So to me, don't buy hot packs. Don't pay any attention to them when you see them on eBay. Don't support any sellers. Don't bid on, if they're selling hot packs, I would not even bid on any of their other auctions, because it's a seller that is doing sleazy things. Weighing packs is a very, very bad thing. It's something you don't want to do, and you want to stay away from people that do it. And if you go to card shops, And maybe it's a new shop or it's a shop you've never pulled anything good at. Just take a look at the cabinets. That's what I would say. If you look at their cabinets, or maybe they do have an eBay name, talk to the owner a little bit, see if they sell on eBay, and look and see what's going on. See if they have, if a lot of their product that they have on their shelves, they have a bunch of nice jersey cards in their cabinet, then maybe that'll give you a tip off that they're searching their packs. Or if you look on their eBay name, maybe they're selling a bunch of patch cards or a bunch of really nice jersey cards on their eBay name that come from products that you've seen in their store. That to me would probably give me a little bit of a tip off. But if it's a reputable dealer, as most are, if you want to stay in business for any length of time, you have to be reputable, and you people have to pull good cards in your shop. You want to make sure that you go to stores like that. And I'm proud to say that it's not something I do. It's something that I encourage no one to do. It's something I don't allow my customers to do, even my good customers. I don't allow people to come in and search my packs and get things out, because I've seen the look on a face of a 12-year-old that pulled a Reggie Bush autograph that was worth like $400 at the time. That's a great look on someone's face, and it's a great moment for him and like his family. And I've seen look on like a 30-year-old construction worker when he pulled it was like a triple jersey autograph out of like 25 of Reggie Bush when he was a rookie as well. I swear I got like every box I bought in 2006 had a Reggie Bush autograph, and yet I saw like three or four of them pulled. So a bunch of people popped them, and that's a good feeling. It gets the buzz going around your hobby shop. So if you're a hobby shop owner, don't search your packs, because honestly, I got more business off other people pulling those cards than me pulling myself and maybe selling them on eBay, because so many people would come in and either see the pictures on the wall or hear about it from a friend, or lots of casual collectors of these people, friends of these people that pulled these big dollar cards would come in and pull some packs and be like, "Oh yeah, my friend pulled the Reggie Bush. I'm gonna try to do it too," you know. So those kind of things happen. So if you own a card store, make sure you keep that in mind. Don't search your packs. Don't support anybody that does. That case is closed. So, hopefully, you enjoyed that topic. Hopefully, I didn't get too fired up and steamed up for you guys. After this, I'm going to run down just a few quick things as we break it out of here. I've been listening to way too much rap music, as you could tell by the last show. I was listening to so much rap the last couple of days. I'm the kind of person that kind of fluctuates in my music. I listen to. I have my favorite bands. My favorite bands of all time are Pearl Jam and Nirvana and the Foo Fighters and Stone Temple Pilots. The mid-90s grunge rockers, or whatever you want to call them. Those are my bands, and I'll probably listen to that music my whole life. But honestly, I listen to everything. I listen to crazy, like country music, and I listen to some jazz, and I listen to some weird, like kind of underground stuff. And I also listen to a lot of like gangster rap and things like that. And I was kind of on my rap kick, but I'm going back to my rock kick. But I'm gonna get back into country here in a second. I'm gonna start listening to some country music. So hopefully, in a show or two, if you prefer that music, I'll have some of that. And if you're a fan of another type of music, I'm sure I'll get on that kick again at some point, and we'll play that for you. But I hope you enjoy this next one.
What the fuck is this world? Run into you, didn't leave a message, at least I could have learned your voice one last time. Daily mind feels this good. Be my time by you. Would you hit me? Would you hit me?
What up? We're back. We're gonna try to wrap it up. We've gone way over time today. You've been treated. The last two shows have been quite long, and we're going to not try to do this. Although I haven't had too many complaints about them being long or too short. So let me know. If you send me an email, let me know the length of show. sportscardshow@gmail.com. Do you want them to be kind of short and to the point? Like 20, 25 minutes is about as short as I can keep them. Or do you want them to be a little bit longer? Do you want them to be 35 minutes? Do you want them to be 40 minutes? Do you want them to be an hour? You know, I understand that not a lot of you maybe listen to them straight through, or maybe you do. Let me know what length of show that you mind. Or if you don't care, let me know and we'll just keep doing what we're doing and kind of, you know, play it by ear. But I want to go over some things. First, I want to again thank the two topics we had today, hot packs and storing your cards, Nick from New Jersey and Ezra. Thanks a lot for shooting those topics to me through the email. But I want to talk about actually a little bit of prospect stuff here. Not exactly our normal prospect rundown, but I shouted out a while back, and some of you may remember, or maybe not, but I shouted out a sports card website that, again, I don't get paid by these people, and I don't normally agree with everything they've done, but thepit.com, and I know they've changed their name here recently, but I can't remember what they changed it to, and if they're not idiots, they'll keep thepit.com and just redirect it to their new domain. But they've added a lot of cards onto their website, and I won't explain too much because I already did explain. I forget. It was several shows ago. It was one of our early shows. So you want to go back I'll explain how it works there and how all the bidding and ask price works there. But you want to check it out because I've actually seen some really good prices on some cards. And keep in mind, this is a card site that you don't take delivery of the cards. So if you're the kind of person that wants all the cards in your lap and you want to be able to sort them out and you know, be able to physically touch them, it's not necessarily the site for you, although you can take delivery. And it's not too expensive to take delivery on your cards, especially if you're doing a large number of them. So it's something that you want to check out, but I love it for that fact. I don't want the cards. I want as few cards as possible, but I want to be able to buy and sell them. I'm the kind of person that really loves the buying and selling aspect of them, but I don't necessarily want boxes and boxes of cards stacked up in my room because, man, I've got a bunch of other stuff in there, so I need to clean my room. But I've noticed that a lot of prospects, you know, a prospect that we shout out, John Jay, his cards, you can buy them now on there for $1.55. And I came in, the last shade was at 75 cents, and I came in there at 80 cents for, like, I don't know, I did 1 to 10 cards for 80 cents. So to me, that's a pretty good deal because on eBay, they're about that same price when you factor in shipping and all that other stuff. It works out to be about $1 to $1.50, sometimes $2 per card, sometimes more. It depends on what the quantity you're buying. Another one is Hank Conger. I noticed on eBay, I don't have it in front of me, but there was a lot that sold of his cards that they sold in the, you know, about the $1 to $1.25 range because someone had about a 30 lot or a 40 lot on there, and that's quite a large lot. But Hank Conger's on the Pit. The ask right now is 95 cents, so you're paying about a little bit less, and there is a commission. We'll talk about that in a second, but you can bid 60, and the last trade was at 55 cents, so you could have picked up maybe like 10 of them for 55 cents. That would have been like maybe a $6 trade, so you know, that's looking at about 60 cents a card, 70 cents a card, so that's pretty cheap, and like I said, you don't have to take delivery of it, and it's a very easy way to turn it around. And I know on the last time I reviewed this site, I didn't mention commissions. To give you an idea on it, obviously the best way to do is go to their website and check it out yourself. But to give you an idea, I just sold four Carson Palmers for $52.20, and the transaction fee on that was $2.60. So I ended up taking home $49.60 out of $52.20. To me, $2.60 off $52.20, you're going to pay at least that in PayPal fees on eBay, and then your insertion fees and final value fees are probably going to be about the same. You're going to probably pay at least $5 to $6 on that same transaction on eBay. And then I bought four Nick Adenhart rookies for $11.20, and I paid an 85 cent transaction fee for that, so they get a little bit cheaper. And I sold for Nick Adenhart, so I paid 85 cents on a transaction fee there. What I did buy was this was a while ago. I bought five Josh Johnsons for $4.75 plus a 55-cent transaction fee. So I spent $4.75 and I had to pay 55 cents more. It's not too bad if you think about it, because I bought five cards, so it's only 10 cents more per card. So it ended up being five for $5.30. It's not too bad. You know, I don't know what those cards are worth right now, but it's not too bad of a transaction fee considering, you know, it kind of sucks that you do pay both ways on this site. You pay buying and selling. But in the end, it works out to probably be about the same as eBay. Actually, it's probably a little bit less. So, and you got to factor in it's a lot less time and things like that. So it's a pretty cool site, thepit.com. They've changed their name. They're owned by like sportsbuy.com, which is used to be Naxcom or something like that. So again, I don't necessarily support this company, but it does look like they're making an effort to try to improve their product. And they've offered a lot of new cards on the site. A lot of cool cards. And like I said, they have John Jay. They have Hank Conger. They have some other prospects that we've shouted on the show. Andrew McCutchen, Tim Lincecum. They have all kinds of guys. They had Josh Hamilton's. That's where I originally bought my Josh Hamilton's about 2 years ago, I guess it was, or a year and a half ago. So it's a site you want to check out. It has some good prices, sometimes less than eBay, usually right about the same, usually not more though. So it's a site that you can go to and you know you're probably getting a pretty decent price. It does take a while for the transactions to go through and for someone to accept your offer. And it depends on how aggressive you are, and it kind of depends on what's going on. But it's a site I encourage you to check out, especially if you don't mind not having your cards in your lap, in your room, in your house. But that's going to wrap it up for today. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Sorry it was a long one, or maybe thank you, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope all is well. We will see you next time. Hopefully we'll talk about some new topics, some hot topics, or maybe not. We'll see. That'll all be for another time, another place. We'll all do it next time. See y'all later. Take it easy.